I believe that if the Lord will enlighten our eyes, we don't need to talk so much, because the revelation, through the spirit of revelation, the Lord, when He opens our eyes, then you see. And when you see, you see. Then you'll know what to do, right? Now let's turn to 1 Peter, chapter 2. You know, all these verses are very familiar to many of us. But we really never get into it, and that's the trouble. We read, but we don't see. And when we don't see, then you don't practice. So the Lord has to open our eyes. Very important verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 7. Together. Coming
to Him
as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer us spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone."
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament days, Zion in Jerusalem, it is a place, a physical place, a geographical location. You know, you can fly there with United Airlines or whatever airlines you may take and go there. You can take a tour in Jerusalem, right? I don't know if you've been there or not, but you know, that's the old place. But in the New Testament age, it's a different Zion. It's a spiritual Zion. The stone is not a dead stone. You can still see the remains, right? But in the New Testament age, stone is a living stone. Even Christ is a stone. You only know Him as a Savior, right? All you heard all your life is a Savior. But He's a living stone. And you have to come to Him as to a stone. Do you like to come to a stone? What? Coming to a stone? Do you like to come to a stone? Mercy, have you ever been to the Lord as to a stone? No, right? No. Why not? Have you not read? You have to come to Him as to a what? Why do you come to a stone for? To build what? A physical building? Tell me the truth, too. Have you ever come to the old Lord Stone? Lord Stone? Is he a stone? Yes. Have you ever called him old Lord Stone? I don't think so, right? Why not? Because deep within your heart, you still don't have a real concept of what this building is. That's why you never come to the Lord as you're a living stone. But you know, Peter will never forget that. Because the Lord changed his name to Peter. He was a son of Jonah, right? That's why Bar Jonah, the son of Jonah. And his name was Simon. What would you prefer, Simon or Peter?
Peter.
Peter. Why? Peter, Petros, means a stone. A stone. So Peter never forgot. But then Peter realized that actually he is the real stone. And he's the cornerstone. And he's a living stone. How about you? What are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a born-again believer, right? Have you ever told people, oh, I'm a living stone? What? What are you? I'm a living stone. Living stone. Are you a living stone? Or you mean to say your family man is a living stone? Jake Livingstone. No. No, you are a living stone. A living stone. What for? For a spiritual building. Today is the building. It's a spiritual building. It's no longer a physical place. Not a geographical place. Not a physical place. This is not a place. But something, first of all, it must be living. Are you living? Is our meeting living? If we are as dead as the chair you sat on, even deader, because the chair is not going to die, but you will die. I cannot say this is a dead chair, but I can say I'm a dead believer. Have you ever said the chair is dead? Huh? We have a dead chair? No. Because this chair cannot be living, so it cannot be dead. But you as a believer, you can either be dead believer or a living believer. So what are you? Oh, Lord Jesus. So if you say you're a stone, I will ask you, well, what kind of stone? A cold stone, living stone, a lukewarm stone, hot stone. Are you a living stone? What kind of a stone are you? The church is not just built up of stone, but living stone. Peter says, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, you were dead in your sin and trespass. The living dead. Oh, no. You're walking around, but just walking around. But we have to be full of life. Can people see the life in you? Is living water flowing out? Out of your innermost being flows nothing. Oh Lord, what did the Lord say? He who believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers
of living water.
Of living water. What about just a few drops? Huh? A few drops of what? You've been meeting for so many years, and out of your innermost being, what flows out? Rivers, plural, not just one river. And it's river. You know a river? You know what a river is? It's not just a little pipe dropping a few drops of water. The Lord says rivers. And he says to the Samaritan woman, if you drink the water that I've given you, this water will become a fountain of water springing up into life eternal. How about that? Is something springing up in you this morning when you wake up? Is it springing up? Or is it very dry? How about that? Living. The church is not just a church. It must be a living church. And not only a living church, but the Lord wants a glorious church. 神所要的不是一个教会，是一个不只是一个活的教会，是一个荣耀的教会。那你告诉我，教会荣耀吗？活吗？我这个人啊 I'm sorry I'm a living person, right? We're all living person. Suppose I die, what are you going to do with me? Huh?
Put you in the ground.
Put me in the ground? What? You're going to put me on the ground? Don't you know I'm John? I'm your good friend. Why are you going to put a good friend in the ground? Bury me in the ground 6 feet under. What are you going to do with a dead me? Tell me. Mummify me and put me in your house?
No.
No. You don't want to do that. You want to mummify me?What do you do with a dead person? Now, what is the Lord going to do with a dead church?
Bury it.
But we don't. We keep it. We love it. And we're in it. That means you're also dead.Because all the dead will be buried, so the Lord did not. The Lord say, let the dead bury the dead. What do I do with something that's dead? You bury it. The church is, now the New Testament is a living church. And the Lord is a living stone. He's the chief cornerstone.You take that cornerstone away, there's nothing left of it. The Lord is not going to be a cornerstone of a dead church. That's why he's out and you're in. You're in, he's out. If he's in, it's living. If he's out, it's dead. So, before we even talk about the true worshiper, you have to see...Is it living or is it dead? You cannot worship if it's lifeless. Then I'm a dead worshiper. If I'm a dead worshiper, I'll be worshiping a dead God. So Peter here says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men. Rejected. Do we love the Lord or do we reject Him? You say, we don't reject Him. He asked the Jews at that time when the Lord Jesus was there, He tells them, you're rejecting God. And they would say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, rejecting God? But they were rejecting God. Because they didn't know who this living God was.So they kept their doctrine, but they reject the living God. Now today we are doing the same thing. We keep our concept and our doctrines and our tradition. We keep them very well and even reject those who reject our doctrine and tradition. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Now this is the point here, chosen by God.You choose what God chose. Rejected by man, that's not a problem. But if it's chosen by God, that's good. So what do you prefer? What is rejected by man or what is chosen by God?
Chosen by God.
How do you know what's chosen by God?
It's precious.
Because I told you?
No.
No. You have to know God. You have to know the living God. You have to come to Him. Seek for Him. Ask Him, Lord, what are you doing today? Many times I pray to the Lord, Lord, I want to be up to date with you. What you're doing now, I want to be what you're doing now. Not what you were doing last week, last year, 10 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 500 years ago, the Lutherans are still doing that. The Catholics, oh, they're doing 1,500 years ago. And the Jews, they're still doing... Yes, how about that? What about us? What about you? Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, bring me up to date with you? That's why we're talking about the song of ascent. Has he been ascending or descending? Yes. Backsliding. Thinking. Yes. If you're thinking, you'll be sinking. And the Germans, they cannot say thinking, they say thinking. Oh, what are you thinking about? So if you think too much, you'll be thinking. What are you doing? Oh, I'm thinking. I'm thinking. You also, as living stones, are being built up a what?
Spirit.
In the New Testament, it is now in spirit. You don't even know your spirit. You don't live and walk by the spirit. You don't communicate with the Lord by the Spirit. So you just do things outwardly. You think coming to a meeting is good enough? You have to come to the living God in spirit. And that communication is 24 hours, 24/7, not 7-Eleven. We are 24/7. We don't have 7-Eleven. Because you are in constant fellowship with Him. How often do you breathe?
All the time.
All the time. That means you're all the time connected to the air. How about that? That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. How do you do that? Have you ceased to pray?
Yeah.
Oh, but the Bible says, pray without ceasing. How come you cease?
Disobedient.
No. So what are you going to do? Don't sleep, don't eat, you pray without ceasing. You pray 24 hours when you're sleeping.
No, I don't.
Then you're not following the Bible. But if you are in the spirit, you are a person that is in the spirit, you're connected. Anyway, it is a spiritual house. No, let's not talk about that yet. But, you know, the place, the temple, the house of God, the house of the living God. And a holy priesthood. No, in the Old Testament days, the Levites are the priests. Now today, who are the priests? Are you? What cemetery? What seminary? What seminary? Catholic? Presbyterian priest? Are you a Protestant priest? Bishop? What kind of priest? Because only the priest has a privilege to really worship and serve God, a priesthood. But today, there is also a priesthood in the church life. But we never had a concept, we are all priests. Are you a priest?
Yes.
And so what do?
Offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Are you really doing that? Did you bring one today? Oh, you just brought your ears. Offer up your ears. Dear brothers and sisters, lend me your ears. You just brought your ears. Your itching ears. That's what people do when they go. They meet you. They bring their itching ears. They want to hear something. After they heard something, they go home and forget about it. Good or bad, doesn't really matter. If good, you're happy. If bad, you're wasting my time. Right. But then you still go. Why do you waste your time? You still go. I asked my sister, my young man, why are you sleeping? You still go. Better sleep on your bed at home. You can sleep better. Right. And the holy priest said to offer up sacrifices. Now this point is very important here. You can really see here. The second point here, B. The offering, that's the second factor of the worship. That's the second factor of the worship. You cannot come empty-handed. Right. To bring the offerings to God. But first of all, right, two things you need to realize that are important. Number one is the right place. Number two, you have to bring the right offerings. You have to bring the offerings to satisfy God, to offer up to God the offerings. These are the two very important factors of the true worship in the Old Testament age. You cannot just worship any place. And this is the principle. You need to see the principle. Don't just go any place. Oh, it's the same. No, it's not the same. It's not the same. According to God's word, it's not the same. You cannot just go any place and do anything you'd like. No, you cannot. We already said it this morning very clearly. You can read it for yourself here, right? And if the people of God disobeyed God, and they did, and finally, God couldn't do anything anymore. It's not possible. They won't listen. They disobeyed God. So the result, let's go back to number one. The result is the captivity in Babylon. Babylon. Don't think Babylon is a small thing. No. At the end of the Bible, you see Babylon again. In the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, at the very end, you see two cities there. Right? Chapter 17 and 18, you have Babylon the Great. And then chapter 21, you have the new and heavenly Jerusalem. So these two names appear again at the very end of the Bible. So don't think that these two names are not important, or God will never forget the name Jerusalem, okay? You may forget it, but the Bible never forgets. So these two names reappear again at the end of the Bible, Babylon. That's why we have to mention Babylon right here, because Babylon is not just in the book of Revelation. Babylon is already right there, even in Genesis chapter 11. Babylon. This is a very important name. Don't ever forget this name negatively. Because it's written again at the very end, right? There is a earthly Babylon, physical, geographic Babylon, present-day Iraq, Baghdad, right? You like Baghdad? Well, just outside of Baghdad, that's Babylon. This is a result of not worshipping God in a proper way. Because at the very end, they worship the demons. Offering their children to demons. Terrible. You never thought that people of God will be doing that. shedding innocent blood, would you offer your daughter? Would you do that? No. Awful, right? But can you imagine God's people doing that? But they ended up doing that. That's what happened. So finally, God had no choice but to bring them all into the captivity of Babylon, the place called Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. And the very principle, the root of Babylon, is actually the Tower of Babel. You all know the story, right? You know the story of the Tower of Babel? You can read it yourself. In the beginning, there's just one people, one nation, one language. Everything is one. Right? Everything is one. It's very good. It's good to be one. But now, because they worship the idols, they rejected God, and they want to make a name for themselves. So they built a tower, high tower, up to the heavens. They want to, go to heaven. How about that? They would like to go to heaven. Not bad, right? So they want to build a tower to reach up to the heavens. To make a long story short, God came down and judged them. What was the judgment? What did God do? Kill them all? No. No, God doesn't really kill people. Right? So, what did God do?
He confused the language.
And after the confused language, what happened?
The Lord scattered them abroad.
Nobody understood each other anymore. And scattered them abroad. Let's read Genesis chapter 11, verse 9. That is the main principle there. Firstly, the confusion. Not good to have confusion. In verse 7, verse 6 says, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what now they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. You say, come, God says, let's go down, and there confuse the language, verse 7. They may not understand one another's speech. Well, today, you have so many Christian groups there. They don't understand each other. Division upon division upon division upon division. There's no end to that. Why? Because they don't agree with each other. And they say, I don't understand. I don't agree with you. You don't agree with me. So what happened? I want to be the king. You want to be the king. The two kings. Can there be two presidents in the United States?
No.
No. If you are, then I'm not. If I am, then you are not. You cannot be that. We are both presidents. If there are two presidents here, we're in trouble. It'll be two USA. Right? If we have 10 presidents, oh, that's even worse. Confusion. They didn't understand each other. Let's continue. So the Lord scattered them. The result is scattering. They're scattered. Are we all scattered today? We're all scattered. You know, the sister, my niece, just told me the group where she came up from. Firstly, they divided. And then those who divide, divided again. And those who stay, divided again. And those who divided, divided again. And those who stay, divided again. She said, there's no end, right? Mercy. Yeah, she just told me a week ago, right? Oh, I said, that is Babylon. Babylon. They divide again. Actually, that shows there's no life. Listen, I'm alive today. I'm one person. Right? When I died, what's going to happen to my body? Disintegrate. And all of a sudden it becomes many bones, scattered bones. No more. There'll be so many parts. You only see my bones. No more, that's it. Scattered all over the face of the earth. And they see he's building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel. Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And Babel is the Aramaic name for the Greek name Babylon. It's the same word. So, many people say, wow, Babylon, that's a Roman Catholic Church. Well, at least they are one. But where's the scattering? Where's the confusion? Out of that came all the confusion in the last 500 years. So many different groups. When the Pope closed the Bible and said, only I and you all have to listen to me, then they are one. But then, at the time Martin Luther, the Bible is released and open, my goodness, and everybody interprets the way they like it. And there's countless thousands, like you said today, spread all over the earth. Babylon. Don't think there's no Babylon today. There is a physical, geographical Babylon, and today there is the spiritual Babylon. So much confusion. There has not been an organization, a religion on this earth that is more scattered, confused, divided as the Christian religion. You know, first time after they were in captivity in Babylon, they lost the temple because the Lord destroyed the temple. Don't think the Lord will not destroy his own temple. Hey, God is not religious. You're not worshipping him. That's it. Don't, we are the church. But the Lord says, no, you're not. Then what are you? We have the doctrine. Well, so what? We're Jerusalem. Were they not Jerusalem? Didn't now the Lord say, if you lost your first love, I will remove the lampstand?
Oh, Lord.
You don't believe the lampstand is removable? Once you're a lampstand, forever a lampstand? As long as you're alive, you are Vincent Yankovsky. Once you're dead, they put a stone down, here lies Vincent Yankovsky. No, I say, he doesn't lie, Vincent Yankovsky. Right? No more. You're in Hades somewhere. The real Vincent Yankovsky is in Hades. But in that cemetery, where 6 feet under there, that's not Vincent anymore. No. That's why in the New Testament age, we must be for the reality. Not the doctrine. You may have the right doctrine, but you have the right dead doctrine. God is not for a doctrine. As much as you love, where are my daughters? My daughters are gone. As much as you love the Father, if I die, that's it. The church is the church, as long as it's living. But for you, it's a doctrine. So you keep the doctrine, you're the church. Who said so? Still not还是教会啊? 你要把我关在一个棺材里面了，我才不要啊。Don't try to keep me in a coffin. If I'm alive, you want to keep me in a coffin. You want to? No, I'm a living Christian. Christ lives in me. The Spirit is here. I don't want to be in a place without life. Don't lock me up in a place. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, they thought they are the living temple of God, the temple of God. They were Jerusalem, but that's not what the Lord wants anymore. But they still want to stay in there. Now, do you want to stay in there, or don't you want to stay in there? Or you want to follow the living Christ? You tell me. I'm glad there are quite a few people were kicked out over there, right? Because they touched the living Christ. We are in the New Testament age. You know, this bothered me so much because 40 years ago, we're still in the church. Then all of a sudden it changed. You want to lock me in that place? I said, no, this is not right. I could not stay there. I asked the Lord, you tell me if that's the place I go back tomorrow. I told the Lord, really, the Lord can be my witness. I prostrated. I was lying down on the floor in my house. I told God, you tell me. If they are right, I go back. But if that's not your church anymore, I follow you. And the Lord really answered me. I don't take things lightly, and I don't do things lightly. Praise the Lord. This is what happened. The Lord destroyed the temple. And a lot of people died, killed by Nebuchadnezzar, and those remaining were brought into Babylon in captivity. There is a captivity there, the captivity of God's people in Babylon. And because they didn't have the temple anymore, that is historically, that is when the Jews began to build the synagogues. Well, what are you going to do? There's no more temple. The place where God has chosen is burned, torn down, broken down. The city of Jerusalem is burned down. What are you going to do with worship now? So, they build the synagogues, but where do you see the synagogues in the Bible? You know, according to the Jewish rule and Jewish law, any 10 Jews can start a synagogue. If you have 10 people, you don't like that synagogue, and you don't like that rabbi, you can gather 10 Jews and build your own synagogue and start a synagogue. How about that? Let's start one, huh? You like to start a synagogue? Why not? You like to stay in that, in here? Doctrinally?
No.
So, let's start a synagogue. That is when in Babylon they start endless, countless synagogues teaching the scripture. But there's no worship. They pray, they read the Bible, talk about the Bible, Bible studies. Study the Bible. Interpret the Bible. Talk about the Bible. But no worship. They pray, yes, they pray.
study the Bible. That's good.
Oh, we had a good brother here. They can really
talk about the Bible, and we're just listening. Rabbi Sam Juan. How about that? If we don't like him, let's find another 10 brothers and start another synagogue. And we'll ask Rabbi John Yao. And finally, you still don't like it? Okay. Another 10, and you become the rabbi. Rabbi Iman. That's how this synagogue started. And you can build as many synagogues as you want, but in the book of Revelation it's called the synagogue of Satan. Like it or not. Because it's not God who built the synagogue. So if it's not God who built the synagogue, who do you think is interested in building synagogues and divide all God's people? And there's no true worship there because God didn't allow them to worship in synagogues. So the Jews never could offer up sacrifices until this very day, because they know from Deuteronomy chapter 12 and all those other chapters that they couldn't worship and offer up their sacrifices anywhere else. So what to do? So is synagogue for God? You think God will accept the synagogues? So what are you going to do? Come back to Jerusalem. So the synagogues there are no good. That's the beginning of building of synagogues. And the Lord says, seek. In Deuteronomy 12 verse 5. Seek. Are you seeking? Are you happy where you are? Mercy, are you happy where you are? Where you were? No. Praise the Lord, I hope you have found. But don't say, I've already found. You should continue to seek.
Amen.
Because 2 weeks later, we become dead. Don't stay there. 2 weeks later, we are dead. If we're dead, what are you going to do if we're dead? Seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place. It is his dwelling place. He has to be there. So, you need to be seeking after him. To worship him in reality. To be able to worship him, to bring your offering. There you shall go. This is God's word. So what choice do you have? What choice do I have? If you're dead here, you won't see me here anymore. Go to the place, not traditionally, not just doctrinally correct, but you have to meet the living God. 我们要的是这位又真又活的神，要来敬拜他， 要来讨他的喜悦， 要来满足他的心意。 This is what we want to do, to satisfy him, to be well pleased in him, to practice our priesthood. We only have today and tomorrow, right? So, let us quickly go to be the offerings. We have 15 more minutes?
Yeah.
15 more minutes. Okay. Doesn't matter. You have the outline, go home, the verses, you read it yourself, and that's good enough. That's good enough. Read it yourself. There, and only there. Because if God is not there, who are you worshipping? You know, if you go to a Catholic cathedral and you're praying, I don't know who you're praying to because God is not there. If I go to your home and you're not at home, but this is your home, so I just talk to you. Although you're not there. It doesn't make sense if you're not there and I'm talking to you and you're not there. If I want to talk to you, you have to be there, right? If you're not there, I'm talking to the wall. Oh, hi, Freddie. How are you, Freddie? I really love you. You are a wonderful person. Oh, you're my dear friend, Freddie. Oh, praise the Lord, Freddie.
Well, Freddie's here. I'm looking at the wall. Freddie's here.
God is not in a synagogue. You cannot worship him there. He won't be there. Don't think, oh, okay, they're worshiping, so I better be there for them to worship me. Baloney. God is not going to do that. You want to worship him, you go to him, then he comes to you. You go to where he is. You go to where he is. Find him. Seek him. Talk to him. Let him appear to you. He's living. You are a living person. If I want to talk to you, what should I do? Call you. What if you're not at home? Find out where you are. You have a cell phone today. Don't say, leave me a message. I don't like to leave message. I don't like to talk to a mechanical machine. You know, nowadays, you call Kaiser, you call whatever, leave a message, you're talking to machine. I hate talking to machine. Do you like to talk to machine? Then it says you refer to this machine and to that machine and finally, I hang up. Get it, I'm not going to talk to machine. Do you like to talk to machine? No, I don't like to talk to machine. I like to talk to a living person. Don't you? God will never change to a mechanical machine. Not be digitalist. No. No, 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 no. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, how to worship? Firstly, in Deuteronomy 12, it says, there you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hands, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, the firstborn of your herds and flocks. What are these? All these in the Old Testament days, they are a picture of Christ. You have to bring the offerings. You cannot come empty-handed. You have to bring you all the offerings. And that's why Leviticus, in the very beginning of Leviticus, chapters 1 to 7, the Lord showed us what all these offerings are. You have the burnt offering, you have the meal offering, you have the peace offering, with the free will offerings, and the heave offerings, and you have the wave offerings, and then you have the sin offering, and then you have the trespass offering, and then you have the drink offering. Oh my goodness, you have all kinds of offerings. And these offerings, Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament says, these are Christ. Christ is the offering. God doesn't want your money. You think he loves money?
No.
Do you?
No.
Oh, I hope not. Of course you need money. That's fine. But don't love money. But God needs money? Well, what is he going to buy? What is he going to buy? Everything belongs to him. In Haggai, he says, silver and gold belongs to me. What are you going to give me? But he wants the offerings. later on we'll see. But firstly, you need to see there you must bring something. You cannot just come to worship bowing down and bowing down. God says, I don't want you to bow down. He's bowed down. Of course he's not against you bowing down, that's fine. But that's not the worship he wants. You say, oh, praise him, I praise him, praise the Lord, I praise the Lord. The Lord says, these people praise me with their mouth, but their hearts are far away from me. Lord, I praise you, you died for me, but that's 2,000 years ago. How come I died for you, you're still alive? How come you're not dead with me? How come you still live yourself? Paul said, it's no longer I that live. How come you're still living? I have been crucified with Christ. How come you... Lord, I praise you. You died for me. Oh, how you died for me, Lord. How come... The Lord says, how come you're still alive? We'll go... We'll see that, the Roman numeral 2 tonight, okay? We'll try to make it there. But, hey, that's the true worship. First, the true worship is to bring the offerings. There you must bring the offerings. And these offerings you cannot offer up in your backyard. No, 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 no. Don't tell the Lord, oh, as long as I bring the offering, I'll do it in my backyard. No, no. All the other produce of the land you can eat in your backyard, but the first fruits, the firstborn of the herd, you have to bring to the Lord as a burnt offering. You have to, the top 10 part of the meal, the fine flour, you cannot eat it yourself, you cannot eat it in your backyard, in your oven, in the home, in your kitchen. You can do anything you like in your home, but that portion that the Lord wants as a meal offering, you have to bring to Jerusalem to offer up to God. The peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, all of these offerings, God wants you to worship with these offerings. Without offerings, what are you going to worship? Now, this point is very important for you all right now to understand in the scriptures. Because this is the way ordained by God. And don't say, in the New Testament it's different now. No, no. It's exactly the same, except in the New Testament age, you have to now have the real thing. Don't bring a cow. don't bring a sheep to the meeting here next Sunday. Oh my goodness, we'll hear a lot of meh here. We're going to bring a lot of sheep here. No, 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 no. In the New Testament age, it's exactly the same, except now you bring the real thing, which is Christ. Yeah. No, but we all go to so-called different meetings without anything. You don't bring anything. If you don't bring anything, what does God have? You come to the meeting for whom? For you? You want to gain something? You want to know something? You want to listen to a good message. You want to know more about the Bible. You want to understand this, understand that. And at the end, what do you have? A big head. And then you go home. Now what does God have? So how do we worship? Tell me, how do you worship? What kind of worshiper did God want, even in those days, in the age of the Old Covenant, what did God require of them? And then, number one, keep the feast. Because coming to Jerusalem is always a feasting time. 3 times a year.
The first time you come, you keep the feast of the Passover with the unleavened bread, and then also the first fruits, the first harvest in the beginning of the year, Christ being the first fruits, because he's the one who rise from the dead first. Lazarus doesn't come because he died again. But only the Lord Jesus Christ as the first fruit. And he even has to secretly go to the Father to be offered up to him for his enjoyment. Then he came back. And then the Feast of the Pentecost. 50 days later, after the Passover, keeping the feast. Right. So you have the feast of the Passover with the unleavened bread, then you have the Feast of Weeks, which is the Pentecost, and then you have the last feast in the seventh month, you have the Feast of the Tabernacle. And the Feast of the Tabernacle is together with the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Reconciliation and then the Feast of Tabernacle. So three times a year. Their coming together is to keep the feast. And the feasts are just the reality of all that Christ has accomplished. It is for the enjoyment of this Christ, commemorating this wonderful Christ. It's all about Christ. Keeping the feast and the enjoyment, not the doctrine, the reality, the enjoyment of all this feast. You have to keep them. So, when we come, are we keeping the feast? Is there anything to eat? Do we have a lamb here? A leg of lamb? We have a leg of lamb? Oh, you just heard somebody who talked about the lamb. Did Achim just talk about black forest cake? He brought a black forest cake. Keeping the feast. And number two, all the males should appear before the Lord. Oh, you said, my goodness, the Lord didn't want the female. No. Spiritually, it doesn't mean the Lord didn't want the sisters. No. These are the spiritual strongholds. And we all have to be the spiritually strong ones, the living stones coming together, the holy priesthood. But people don't want it. The male, the stronger one. But a lot of people prefer to do nothing. I just come and come and go, in and out. You know, the in and out. California, famous in and out. But at least they have burgers. And then very good French fries. Fresh in and out. But here, you go in and you're out emptier. There's a different kind of in and out. He just want to come empty-handed, and you go emptier. None shall come empty-handed. Read those verses. You cannot come empty-handed. It doesn't mean that you bring your money. No. You bring the offerings. Because the offerings are God's food. It says, and bread for God's enjoyment. Amen. What? God needs food? Have you ever heard that God needs food? Right? Iman, have you ever heard God needs food?
Yeah.
Where?
In Leviticus.
In Leviticus. Before you came to the church, you heard that?
No.
So are you bringing him food? Learning, right?
Yeah, learning.
Good. Good. Because that's the true worship. Now, whoever in Christianity thinks that comes to the meeting has to bring food for God. No. Have you?
Never
You never heard.
God needs food. If you invite me to your home and just sat there and with no drink, no food, I might not come next time.
I might not come. And don't be mad at me if you don't see me and next time you invite me to come again. I say, well, what do you want me to do? Well, you're inviting me for what?
No ice cream. No dessert. No black forest cake. No leg of lamb. Nothing.
God wants food. The offerings are food for God. These are God's food. But you never have the concept God needs to be satisfied. He wants some food. Don't just praise him in an empty way. God, you praise, yeah, but what did you bring for me? Where is my burnt offering? Where is my meal offering? Where is the peace offering, the wave offering, the heave offering? Where is the burnt offering and all the sin and trespass offering? How come you still keep on sinning? Why? Are you really enjoying Christ as all of this? Is Christ the reality of all these offerings for you to enjoy day by day so you can bring this offering to God? The firstborn of the herd. This is the kind of offering that God wants, okay? Don't be mad at me. I'm not criticizing anybody. But I want to tell you what God wants. This is what God wants. Then, after God is satisfied, then the rest of the portion, they are also for the people to eat and enjoy together in Jerusalem. That's a real feasting. After that, everybody is happy, satisfied, went back full, fat, nourished, strengthened. And God promised them, when you come to Jerusalem to worship, I will keep all the enemies away from you. No enemies will attack you. Because all the males are gone now, then the enemy will say, wow, all of the males are gone now, let's attack the city. God will stop them. God will really deal with them. No, God will not let them attack them. This is God's promise to them. Otherwise, they'll say, wow, if all the males are gone, who's going to protect our city, our families and our cities and all that, right? No, God says, you go in peace. God will protect, will not allow the enemy to attack you. Oh Lord, only in Jerusalem it says, take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses. This is the way of worship. This is the way. What choice do we have? Do you have any choice? Any other way? Don't say, oh, you're so narrow. Well, I'm sorry, but then you must tell God he's so narrow. Don't tell me. I'm not trying to be narrow, but I'm trying to do what God wants us to do. This is the way ordained by God in the age of the Old Covenant, but in principle it's the same today. And you have to understand that in order to know what constitutes a true worship. That's why I have to tell the Father, help us, show us, change us, turn us, make us into a group of true worshippers. Otherwise, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are you doing every Sunday here? And so to constitute a true offering, a true worshipper, you have to change. And we have to change. If you don't change, I cannot force anybody to change. You cannot change. I cannot change. But if we want to satisfy the Father, then you cannot meet in the way you're meeting. Sorry. Because you don't want to bring an offering, and I don't want to bring an offering. You don't bring anything, I don't bring anything. Okay, poor me, I have to give a message. You know, I heard one brother say, this time I was in the forest, oh, it's my turn. Next week it's my turn to speak. My, and he told me, Saturday night, the whole night I can't sleep. Preparing, I don't know what to share tomorrow. So, but I have to speak tomorrow. It's my turn. For goodness sake. It's not worship. And poor saints are sitting there, they have to listen to me who can't sleep last night. I couldn't sleep last night. Oh, keep thinking, Lord, oh, what should I say? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And I have to come out with something else. Get into the internet, go into the book. And Sunday morning, I'm half asleep. This morning, I'm going to share, really, I'm not very sure, but and you are the one suffering. And finally, God is the one that is really suffering. Not me, not you, but God. But God. Why don't you think of God? Because we are worshiping God. May the Lord change. Give us grace. Give us mercy. Help us. I hope here in Fountain Valley you have a church. It's not easy, I know, because we are not used to this. The change is not easy. But I'm not talking about some new ways. No. I'm talking about what God wants. What is the true worship? Because the Father has been seeking for true worshipers of Father. And the Lord wants to lead us. He is the offering that we have to bring to the Father for the Father to be satisfied. That's food for the Father. Amen.
Amen.